Columbus, Kentucky, September 1975, Children's Meeting, Don Kenny.
Do all the children have hymn sheets up front? Okay. I guess it's pretty much in the back of the hymn sheet where we'll be singing from this morning. Perhaps I can pick out the first one, and then I'd like to have a girl have one ready for the second one, and perhaps the boy for the third one, okay? And children, just kind of pretend that it's just you and I in here, okay? Don't worry about these older folks that are in the back of the room. It's the children's meeting. They're just kind of sitting in here listening. This is a meeting for the children, okay? So we'd like to have your cooperation in answering questions, and we'd like to have your cooperation in listening, too, because we have the Word of God to bring before you this morning. Okay, why don't we start with number 45? Number 45. Everyone find it now from the back page. All the songs we'll sing will be from the back page. Okay, number 45. To let all eyes do. Savior before you can work for Him, before you can walk for Him, before you can speak for Him. So the first thing we have to know is the Lord Jesus Christ is our own personal Savior. All right, now one of the girls. Have one for us. I don't know any of your names. It's the first time I've been down here, but I can point my finger. So who would like to have one? Who would like to sing? Okay. 44. Number 44, the one just before. Story about a gypsy boy. Number 44, let's sing the whole song. Into the tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying of.
Yeah.
it again. Tell what again? What's the story telling us about? Tell it again. What do you think? It's the gospel story. And this little boy, this gypsy boy, had never heard the gospel story. I don't think we have any in this room that could say that they've never heard the gospel story. This little boy accepted the gospel story at the very close of his life. This little boy was dying. And he accepted the gospel story at the very, very end. What about you, little boy? What about you, little girl? What about the older ones, the teenagers? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Him into your heart? Oh, we're thankful that this little boy, this little gypsy boy, we're going to see in the glory. And we trust that we'll see each one of you children there too. Okay, I guess it's the boy's turn.
30.
Number 30, did I hear? Okay. Okay, I think we can sing all the verses of this. Number 30.
Weeping will not save me, though my days were aged and dear, that could not allay my tears, could not wash the sins of years. Weeping will not save me. Jesus, I'm
personally, each one of you were singing that song, and each one of you sang that last line of the chorus, "He alone can save me." Why don't you each put your own name there in that very last word, "me"? He alone can save your name. Let's do it again. He alone can save. Oh, we trust that this comes home to your heart. Because if we went into the town of Columbus or back over to Mayfield, and we asked the people that we met on the street, who can get us to heaven and what can get us to heaven, I think we'd get many, many different answers from those with whom we spoke. But here, this is the truth. This is from God's Word. He alone can save. He alone can save me. Normally, back in Oak Park, where I attend Sunday school and meeting, we have a memory verse that the children say. I think there's probably a few too many children here to say the memory verse. And I think possibly many of you children have different memory verses that you've learned through the week that you normally say in Sunday school. The memory verse that we, the children in Oak Park, memorize is the one that's found in the Sunday school paper. And who can tell me what the verse that was in the Sunday school paper last week they were supposed to memorize for this week is? Did anybody memorize that? Nobody memorized. Okay, we'll have to turn to it. It's in John's Gospel. Somebody find it. When you find it, raise your hand. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Verse 27. And 28. Somebody like to read the verse for me? Okay.
She knew a boy and girl earlier, that's always. Now here we live her alive, but she never perished, and she only had something in her bucket.
Very good. John 10, 27, and 28. A very good verse to memorize if the children have not memorized it before. You know, yesterday, after the delicious supper we had downstairs and prior to the gospel meeting, I took a little walk. I like to take walks. Many people that know me. And I took a walk, I guess it was west on Route 80. It's the first time I've been here, so I was hoping that I wouldn't get lost. And sometimes when you take a walk, I'm sure many of you children have been in parks, national parks, or areas where they have little descriptive signposts as to things that you're supposed to look for, like a certain type of a tree or a certain type of a rock formation. And they give you a little story about these things that are of God's creation, which we like to look at. Well, I think I'd like to take you children on a little walk, but we're supposed to have the meeting in here, so I guess we really can't go outside and take a walk, can we? So we're going to have to take a little mental walk. We're going to have to think our walk, okay? And we're going to be walking along west on this road that, I guess it's that way. We're going to go west on this road. Kind of a narrow walk because a highway there that we have to be careful of. And there's also some weeds and a few puddles and we can't step in. So we're going to take a little walk, okay? Now, when I took the walk yesterday, there are a number of things that I saw. Some of these things I brought back with me, and I have them in this bag here that we'll kind of look at. But others I couldn't very well bring back with me, and you'll see why. So I was walking west on Route 80 here, a few hundred feet, and I started hearing noises to my left. There were some high shrubs and brambles there, and I couldn't see what was making the noise. So I walked a little further and I came to a gate that was on the fence line. And I stepped over a pretty good sized puddle from all the rain and went up to the gate and looked in. You know what I saw? I've never seen this many of this kind of an animal before, but maybe they're quite common down here in Kentucky. I saw goats. Anybody know what a goat is? Goats. And you know, I stood there and I counted those, tried to count those goats, and I got up to 50, and I hadn't, I don't think, really begun to count them all. They were all over the place. Goats. All different shapes and sizes and colors of goats. Now, I've seen a goat or two. I work on a farm, and I've seen a goat or two on our farm, but I've never seen 50 or 60 or 70 goats in a field before. And I must admit, they were very, very interesting to look at. You know what I did? I kind of looked around to make sure that there was nobody watching me, and I called one of the goats. I won't tell you what I called him, but I just called him. And you know, he kind of perked up his ears and looked at me and kind of raised one back foot a little bit and stomped it a bit. But he didn't come over to me. He didn't know who I was. Maybe I didn't say the right thing, but he didn't know who I was. You know, that's kind of like our verse, isn't it? Kind of like our verse. My sheep hear my voice. Now those goats are something like sheep, I think. Look a little bit like sheep. But these goats didn't know my voice. I'm sure there's probably a man or a woman or a boy or a girl that owns those goats that could go to that fence and say something, call something, whistle something, and those goats would come over to them. But they didn't know who I was. They didn't recognize my voice. Now, this last song that we sang, I think, in fact I know, we've sung it very, very recently. Didn't we sing that in the gospel meeting last night? We sang that same one, right? The last song we sang in the gospel meeting. Now, in that wonderful gospel that we heard last night, the Lord was speaking to everyone in the room. Did you hear His voice? Was the Lord speaking to you? Oh, just as those sheep didn't respond, or those goats didn't respond to my voice, oh, we trust, we hope that you've responded to God's word. That you have said, yes, Lord, I need help. I need Savior. I need the blessed Lord. And accept Him as your own personal Savior. Oh, we trust that this is so with each of you here this morning. I was still standing by that fence, and I saw something else out in that field. Something else out in that field. And I've seen these before, but there were some big, fat pigs in that field, too. And they were some big, big pigs. I don't think I've seen any bigger. And they were doing what pigs normally do. On a warm day, warm evening, some of them were eating, some of them were laying in the mud, just like pigs do. And you know, I said I called to the goats, kind of watched the pigs too at the same time, and they never even raised their head. They never even acknowledged that I was there. Oh, this also spoke to my heart. There are some in this world that won't even acknowledge the voice of the Lord Jesus. They're just as the pigs wallowing in the mud. They won't even acknowledge the Lord Jesus' voice. Oh, we don't think there's any in here this way. We trust there isn't. We hope that you all are listening to the voice We trust that you have all accepted what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you. Not because your parents have, not because your mother and your father have taken you to meeting and you're saying, oh, I go to Sunday school, that means I'm saved. No, it's believing in your own heart that you're a sinner. You may have only lived here 4, 5, 7, 9, 13, whatever it might be, years, but you're still a sinner. You're still a sinner, and you need a Savior. So please, listen to God's Word, and do more than that. Respond to it. Accept Him as your own Savior. All right, I've seen all that I wanted to see by that fence, and I proceeded a little further west on the highway. And as I said, it was a rather narrow place to walk. On one side was the highway, and Route 80 out here is a somewhat busy road. There were several cars that passed by as I walked along, so I had to stay right on the edge of the highway. And as a car came, I stepped off into the grassy area. But I kind of noticed in the grassy area that there were some plants that I kind of stay away from. And it seems that down here in Kentucky, they grow a little more frequently than they do up in Illinois, where I'm from. And these plants, and you can see why I didn't bring any with me, have 3 leaves, and they're kind of shiny. Somebody tell me what this is. What do you call it down here? That's the same thing we call it up in Illinois. Poison ivy. And I'm one of these individuals that respond to poison ivy. When poison ivy gets on me, I break out into a nice rash that itches for 3 weeks. Now, as I walked along, I had to be careful. I knew that the poison ivy was on my left, and I knew that the highway was on my right. But there was kind of a nice grassy strip on which I could walk, and I don't think I got in the poison ivy. I'll probably know in a couple days whether I got into the poison ivy or not. But that, you know, our pathway for a Christian, and we'll speak right now to the Christians, you children who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, we can't go either way from God's pathway, from the pathway that's laid out in God's Word. We can't go on either side of that pathway without running into difficulties, without running into either that which is going to cause us harm, such as the car might, or that that would contaminate us, or that which would defile us, such as the poison ivy would if I got into it. And oh, we trust you, children, as you're attempting to go through this contaminated world, this sinful world, that you walk in accordance with God's Word. Because this is the only way, this is the only way that we can walk pleasing to the Lord, is to walk in accordance with His Word. So then I went down a little bit further along this path, or along the road, and I came to a bush that has some blue or purple berries on it. And I like blueberries. We have gone over to northern Indiana or southern Michigan and picked blueberries. And oh, there's a bush, sometimes 6, 7, 10 feet tall, of blueberries. And with both hands, you can get in there and pick these luscious blueberries and put them into the buckets, pay for them and take them home, and made into blueberry pie or blueberry ice cream or blueberry jam. They're just wonderful, aren't they? So I was walking along, and I came upon a nice bush, about 6, 7, 8 feet tall, and this bush had some berries on it. Some of them were kind of green, others were very nice looking bush of berries. I happened to bring one along with me. And boy, if that didn't look like a blueberry bush. It really looked like blueberries hanging on there. I didn't think it really was. I think this is a rather common weed down here. I really don't know what the name of it is. But there was a lot of these blueberries. And I had to check, so I kind of ate one. And let me tell you, it's not blueberries. It's not blueberries. It may look like it. It might be pretty to look at. And you must admit, that's a pretty nice looking berry, isn't it? Nice big berry. But it's not a blueberry. It may have blue color, but it's not a blueberry. And you know, when we walk through this world, we have to be careful what we partake of, don't we? You know, there are things on every side of us that look very nice. And they look as if there would be nothing wrong with getting into that activity, to going here or going there. But it's the world. And it's something that's just going to draw you away from the Lord. It's going to pull you out of the path that you're seeking to follow for the Lord. And when you taste of the world, you're going to find out what I found out yesterday, that it can be very bitter. It can be very, very bitter. These berries were very, very bitter. So don't look to the right or to the left and respond to what you see. Follow the Lord in accordance with what is outlined for us in God's Word. Okay, we went down a little bit further, and by then I was starting to get a little hungry, even though I'd had an awful big meal to eat. And after seeing the blueberries here, and I kind of wondered, well, what else could I find? And I came across a tree, and on these trees there was something that looked like this. Now, who can tell me what this is?
Walnut.
What kind of a walnut? We call it anything more than that down here?
Black walnut.
Right, that's what we call it, black walnut. I want to make sure that I got the right thing here. That's what we call black walnut. You know, I'm not very fond of black walnuts, but there are people, I'm sure, in this room that would say that black walnuts are some of the best eating that you can have. They really like them. They really like them. But I don't know too much about them. Do you eat the outside? You don't eat the outside. What do you have to do to get into the walnut? You have to crack the shell. You have to get down into it. And the good meat of the walnut is down inside, isn't it? Down inside, way down in the middle. You know, got to thinking about this a little bit. Concerning the spiritual food that we partake of. You know, when I'm sure there are many children that say, well, the Bible is so hard to read. It's so hard to read. I don't read it every day. It's too hard to get into. I don't understand the words. You know, they're kind of looking at this walnut and saying, oh, I'm never going to eat that walnut because I can't get through the shell. I can't get through the shell. I can't get down to where the good meat of the walnut is. But you know, once you break through that shell, it's not too hard to get down to the meat of the walnut. And you know, children, Satan would like you to look at the Word of God and say, oh, children, you can't get into the Word of God. Don't read it. It's too hard. It's for your mother and your father to read. It's not for you to read. It's not for children. But, oh, children, once you get into the Word of God, once you say, Satan, I'd like to read the Word of God, and you get into it, the Spirit of God in your heart and your mind is going to open up the Word of God to you. and you'll get the meat of the Word, which is going to help you in your pathway. And it's also going to teach you more about your loving, ever-loving Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have to get into the Word. You can't just look at it from the outside. We'll never get the meat of the walnut if we left it like this, would we? We have to get into it. We have to make it our own and accept what's inside of it. Okay, then I went about as far down on Route 80 as I went, and then I turned around and came back. And I came to a farmer's field. And in this farmer's field, he was growing soybeans. I'm sure you all know what soybeans are. And it was a pretty nice field of soybeans. But there was something else growing in that field of soybeans. And I don't think the farmer, I don't know who he is, I don't think he would mind if I bring a couple of things I found growing in there. What are these? What are these? Growing in the soybean. Weeds. Weeds. Anybody know the names of these weeds? Come on, aren't there some farmers there? Ted, what's the name? You know what that is? Is that foxtail? That's foxtail. What about this?
Yeah.
That's right. That's Johnson grass, isn't it? Foxtail and Johnson grass. Do you think the farmer put those in his field? No, he didn't put those in his field. Do you think he likes the fact that they're in there? He doesn't like that in there. Because that's a weed. You know, a weed is just a plant growing where it's not supposed to grow. That's all a weed is. You know, sometimes even corn can be a weed. As we came down through Illinois, we saw some very, very nice fields of soybeans, but there was some corn coming up in those soybeans because they had corn growing there last year. Last year, corn was the crop that they wanted to get. But this year, there was some corn in the soybeans, and that corn was a weed. But what does the weeds do? What do the weeds do to the soybeans? Oh, they rob the soybean of food. They rob it of moisture. And the weeds can grow so tall that they can shade the soybeans so that the beans do not get the effect of the sunlight. You know, these beans had some companions in that field with them. They had Mr. Fox as a companion, and they had Mr. Johnson as a companion. Both were in the same field with them. And in this case, these companions were not good companions to have, because these companions were robbing the soybeans of what was needed for them to grow properly, and for what was needed for them to produce the beans, which is the fruit of the plant, which is the reason that the farmer planted the beans to begin with. He wanted the fruit of that plant. And for those of us who are Christians, the Lord wants fruit from us too, doesn't he? And you know, one of the best ways for us not to have fruit is to go along with companions that will rob us of those things necessary for us to produce fruit. They can rob us of the spiritual food by getting us away from the Lord, getting us away from His Word. They can rob us of the spiritual water that we need, again, by taking us away from God's Word. And besides this, they can throw enough of a shadow on our path, enough of a shadow on us, that we're taken out of that direct sunlight that we need from the Lord. That contact with the Lord, that communion with the Lord, to have a happy walk that would produce fruit for Him. So watch out for our companions. The beans didn't have much choice. They didn't have much choice what grew up beside them. But you do. And in your walk, in school, or in the older ones as they as they approach the time to perhaps get married, watch your companions, and that your companions may have the same walk and the same desires that you have.
Well, then finally,
I came to another tree, and this tree had a number of leaves on it. I think it, it was a sassafras tree. And this tree had a number of very interesting leaves on it. And some of the leaves were green. You can see, very rather pretty leaves. Some of them had different shapes to them, like this one has kind of a thumb and a hand, and these others had two thumbs or something like that. I've never seen a tree quite like that, where the leaves were so different. Normally, we have trees and the leaves on a tree at least resemble each other. But you know, if I sent you all out into the lawn or out into the woods to come back with two identical leaves or two identical blades of grass, I'm sure none of you could find them. Because God in His creation has made everything different. Everything is different. There may be things that closely look like each other, but they're different. They're different. God has made everything as an individual, and He has made you as an individual too. You know, on that same tree, we had the green leaves. None of the leaves were perfect. That speaks to my life, doesn't it? None of us are perfect. This one has a couple bites out of it by something. This one has a hole in it. Some of these others have spots on them. None of them were perfect, but they were still living. They were still nice and green. Then on the same tree, I found a leaf that looked like that. It had some red color to it. It had some yellow color to it. And there were some leaves further up in the tree, which I couldn't reach, that were almost all yellow. Now, where was this yellow color? Where is the yellow color and the red color in these leaves? Anybody know? It's there. It's there. But you can't see it for the green. You can't see it for the green. Especially the yellow colors in the leaves are always there. But it's masked by the green. And being masked by the green, its colors don't show forth. How about you, children? Is something masking your true colors? Are your true colors showing forth, for the Lord? Oh, we trust that they are. Don't have them be hidden by self. You know, this is the natural color, of the leaf. It's green. That speaks to us of our natural lives. Those natural lives that have already been judged. But I'd like to speak to you of the color, of the beauty that you have in being Christians. But you can't show forth your colors if you're hiding them by the green. If you're hiding them by your natural walk. So show forth your colors. And in closing, there was also this leaf on the tree. It was still attached to the tree. What's wrong with this leaf? What's wrong with it? Anybody know? It's dead. It's dead. There's no strength to it at all. It's dead. There's nothing to it. I didn't see that leaf before it died. I don't know if it showed its colors. I don't know if the yellow color appeared or if it was killed. I think they probably sprayed along the highway, and I think that leaf was killed before it had time to show its colors. Oh, we sang about the gypsy boy. the gypsy boy almost died before he showed his colors. What about you, children? Oh, we don't like to think, to speak on these things. They're so solemn. But we know that if we go into a cemetery, we see small tombstones. And on the tombstones, we see children that only lived a few years. Have you children all shown your colors? Have you all confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, we trust that you do. We trust that you have. And if you haven't, we trust that you will right now show your colors.